Okay, we're on Mem Tes Chamed Aleph. In the middle of the page here. Okay, before we learned, there was an argument in the Mishnah between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, if somebody makes a mistake for the better. In other words, he says to a woman, become a kadoshes to me on the condition of silver, and it ends up to be gold. Or he says, on the condition I'm poor, and he ends up being rich. Either way, whether it's better or worse, it's no good. Reb Shimon says, if you make it a better mistake, like from silver to gold, then it's good. Okay? So the Gemara says, Amar Ula Ula says, Machleik is this argument between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim is only b'shvach momin, when it's a monetary advantage. That means the Chachamim hold, even if it's you know, silver and you make it gold, right? It's still no good because you're still changing it. It doesn't matter if you're doing it better or for worse, it still doesn't matter. But, so just started by the way, Avol Shtvach Yuchsin, but if it's better in lineage, Divrei HaKol Einu Mekudeshes, everybody says it's no good. That means like this. Reb Shimon says, if you make a mistake for the better, you know, you tell the lady, get married to me on the condition it's silver, and it ends up to be gold. So Reb Shimon says it's good. Because normally a woman would rather have gold than silver. The Chachamim hold no. Once you change what you said, not all women want gold. Maybe she wants silver. You know, maybe not all women want a rich husband. Maybe you want a poor, whatever. But he said, when it comes to lineage, even Reb Shimon would say, even if you made a better lineage, Yichus, I'll give you an example. He says, on the condition I'm a Levi, and he is a Kohen. Now Kohen officially is a higher level than a Levi. Okay? So if a guy says to a woman, become a Kadoshes to me on the condition I'm a Levi, and he ends up being a Kohen, even Reb Shimon would say it's not good. Even though it's better, a Kohen is better than a Levi, he says no. My time of why? Uses an Aramaic expression. Misana derav mekare le be'inen. I don't need a shoe that's too big for my feet. In other words, she could say, I don't want such a big macher. I want a normal guy. You know, I don't want. So even over there, Reb Shimon would agree that it's no good. It's still no good.
Well, if he agrees over there, that's no good. Should I agree in other places?
No, by money, he says, normally a woman would want more money. A woman normally would want better money. The Chacham say no. If she says silver, she hears silver, she wants silver. That's it, not gold. And the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi. So we learned in a Braisa. It says, May the Rab Shimon agrees that im hita l'shvach yuchsin, that if the husband made a mistake in lineage, meaning he says on the condition I'm a Levi, and he ends up to be a Kohen, it's also Einim HaKodeshes. Amar Ravashi adds to this, and he says like this, Masnisa Nami Deika. Our Mishnah even proves it. You can see this clearly from our Mishnah. Why? Because over there it says like this, in our Mishnah it says, Amenasha Ani Kohen, on the condition I'm a Kohen, v'nim to Levi, and he ends up being a Levi, or he says on the condition I'm a Levi, and he ends up to be a Kohen, or Nisin is these nations that came, and he comes out to that he's a Mamzer, or a Mamzer, and he comes out to be a Nisin, over there it says it's no good, and the Gemara says, v'lei polig Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon over there doesn't argue. Reb Shimon doesn't argue like he does by the money. So you see, even from our Mishnah, even our Mishnah would agree that if he makes a mistake for the better by Yichus, even the Shimon would agree it's no good. Because the woman doesn't want it. Okay? So bottom line is, the Chachamim hold, any time you change, whether it's better or worse, it's no good. The Shimon says, if you make it better, it's good. But not by family tree. Because by family tree, maybe she doesn't want to have a shoe that she can't wear, so to speak. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Maskev Lord Mar Baravashi challenges this din. Because it says, Aladiktoni, it says in the Braisa, in the Mishnah, Amenashe Yeshli Bas, What happens? These are crazy cases. A guy comes over to a woman. He says, become a kodeshes to me on the condition I have a daughter.
Huh?
That's what he says. That's what he said. Become a kodeshes to me on the condition, makes a condition, that I have a daughter. So what's the din? If he has a daughter, the kedushin is valid. If he doesn't have a daughter, the condition is not met, so it's no good, right? What happens if a guy says to a woman, on the condition that I have a daughter, or shivcha megudelis, or he says, I have a maidservant, okay? Ve'enle, and he doesn't have a daughter, or he doesn't have a maidservant. Or he says the opposite, amenashe enle. He comes over to a woman and says, become a kedushin to me on the condition I don't have a daughter, or I don't have a servant. Ve'yeshle, and he does have. The shvach mamenhu, over there is a change in money. Over there, because not to have a slave and having a slave is better than not having a slave, right? Yeah. Having a daughter to serve you is better than not having a daughter to serve you. And yet, are you telling me that Reb Shimon doesn't argue? Of course Reb Shimon argues. So therefore we must say, Elapolik Bereisha, he argues at the beginning, Vuladin Lasefa, and that's the same din at the end. I'll explain in a second. Ochanami, Paulik Bereisha, he argues in the first case of the Mishnah, Vuladin Lasefa, meaning like this. There's two halves of the Mishnah, okay, and there's really three halves of the Mishnah. Okay, there's a Mishnah later. First it starts with money, gold and silver, I'm rich and poor, all that. Then it goes into the it starts reverse. It starts with Kohen and Levi, with the Yichus. Okay? Then, it goes into money. By money, Reb Shimon argues. Okay? Then, the next case of the Mishnah, again talks about money. I have a slave, I don't have a slave, I do have a daughter, I don't have a daughter. Over there, Reb Shimon doesn't argue. Seemingly. But obviously he does, because it's also money. What does that mean? He doesn't have to say in each case he argues. Okay, if he argues in two, it means he's arguing on one, and he's arguing on three. It's all the same thing. You're telling me from our Mishnah, there's no proof he doesn't argue by lineage, because he's saying his argument only by money. The Gemara said that doesn't make sense. Because we have another case of money, where it also doesn't say that he argues, but obviously he does. So that means he's arguing in all the cases. He doesn't have to say the same thing 10 times that he argues. So what's your proof in the Mishnah? So Gemara says, no, Hachi Hashu, what are you talking about? Hasam over there by the case of the Eved and the daughter and the money. Idi Shvach Mammon. Over there, both are money. Better money, worse money. I have a daughter, I don't have a daughter. I have a slave, I don't have a slave. So over there, when Reb Shimon argues one case of money, it means all money cases he argues. But here, B'Seifa, Hacha D'Shvach Yuchsen, here when we talk about lineage, there's money and there's lineage. If you want to say he argues nisi, he has to say so clearly. Meaning like this. Reb Shimon, there's a difference between money and lineage. Okay, like a lady says, Yichus, I don't want to wear a shoe, I can't, it's too big for me.
That's not money to be a wife of a kohen, that's a good
lady. No, who says a woman wants to be a wife of a kohen? It's limitations, you know, restrictions. Your kids can't go to this, can't do this, it's limitation.
But the money situation is better, no?
Yeah, but not necessarily. It's more honorable to be a kohen. But maybe a lay person says, I don't want to marry a kohen, you know?
It's more difficult. Well, what's so difficult?
Very difficult. Why? I'm not saying if you're allowed to, not allowed to, let's.
Yeah.
You know, many kohen don't walk into hospitals.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? Why? Because it might be a morgue with a dead body and it's under the same roof. Okay, yeah, but cemetery. But many Kohanim, even though there's a lot of leniencies in it, but many Kohanim don't walk into a hospital. Okay. Right? Because there's a morgue. So a lot of Kohanim's wives that give birth in a hospital, a lot of times the husband is not there by the birth. If they don't go into the hospital, they say, listen, they go in. Okay? So the wife's alone. Yeah? A wife said, who wants that? Who wants to marry a kohen that he can't be in the hospital with me when I give birth? Yeah, I want a husband that's going to be there. So it's not always, yeah, kohen is a great thing, but for her, it might not be better to be a kohen.
Some people have reservations because they have bad temper too.
Yeah, kohen have bad tempers. Today everybody's koyanim in that respect. Everybody has tempers today.
Good reason.
Good reason. So the Gemara says like this. If Reb Shimon is arguing by money, it's understood he's only arguing by all cases of money. So the Mishnah doesn't have to say every money case that Reb Shimon is arguing. Because it's understood by money, he argues. But if it's lineage, you Yichus, Kayan Levi or Mamzer or whatever it is, over there there's a reason to say different. So if he argues, then he has to say so. And if he doesn't say so, it shows that he agrees that by Yichus, even if you make a mistake for the better, Reb Shimon also agrees, like we said before, that it's not. By the way, Gemara is going to talk about daughters now with this. But you know, it's an interesting Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara says, Bas Tchila Simen Yafa Labanim. If you have a daughter first, that's a good sign for boys. The Gemara says, sometimes if you have a girl first, it's good. So one explanation is, when you have an older girl in the house, she helps, she takes care of the babies. And she doesn't, an older boy, they only get into trouble. So Gemara says, sometimes the guy says, on the condition I have a girl, a daughter, sometimes that would say, the woman would say, you know, this is a good shidduch, I'll have help in the house, I'll have, you know, somebody take care of the babies eventually. So this is something that she would want. Shivcha, the Gemara is going to say, shivcha is not necessarily good. A servant. Okay, Ibar is saying, the Gemara says like this. Hachanami, here also, by the daughter and the maidservant, it's not only money, it's yichus, it's lineage, it's like Kohen and Levi. Why? He says, the Mishnah says, I have an older maidservant in the house, or bas, a daughter that's grown. It doesn't mean grown. It doesn't mean an older maidservant that could help. It means gadelis, a respected person, the maidservant is a respected person in the community. And this is very interesting. She, the amri he, the woman says, that's getting the kedushin, le'nichale de'shakli mina minoi. I don't need such a person in my house. Why? Because she hears everything that goes on in the house. She tells her neighbors everything that goes on in the house. And as Gemara says, what shivcha are we talking about? Reb Shimon would also agree it's no good. Because we're not talking about money. Here we're talking about family issues.
Privacy.
A woman, mainly, in the olden times there were two maidservants. There's a maidservant nobody bothered looking at. So she didn't go around talking to people, because nobody listened to her. But then you had a choshev, a prominent maidservant, that would go yenting around town, you know, talking. So the lady accepting the kedushin says, you know, who says I want such a lady in my house? She's going to hear everything that goes on in the house and tell all the neighbors, I need that, I don't want it. So it's not even good. So therefore, Rab Shimon would agree, it's not mekudeshes, because it's not good, it's worse, it's not better.
You can't order around either.
Yeah, he can order her around, but that's the Gemara says she's more afraid of. See, parents don't know this, but teachers know this. The teachers of little kids, it's very dangerous, you should know. Teachers of little kids know everything that goes on in the parents' house.
Oh.
It's not a joke. Speak to preschool teachers.
Everything.
Speak to preschool teachers. The kids, the babies, they don't know what to say, not to say. Older kids know what. Yeah, my mommy and daddy were screaming at each other. My mommy and daddy were yelling and hitting each other. You know, they come to school, they don't know anything. Usually the teachers, the preschool teachers, not the older 8th graders. I'm saying the baby teachers. The teachers of the babies know everything that's going on in the house. Where the parents went, and what they're doing, and what they're reading, and what they're doing. Everything they know. So the Gemara says, Yeshivcha, who wants such a shivcha in the house to go tell yakeding to the world and telling everybody what's going on in the house? We're not interested.
So when we said there's a benefit to having a daughter, it depends how old the daughter is.
Yeah. Right. In other words, over here at Megudal, the Gemara says, it's a daughter that's not Megudal aged, you know? It means famous. So the girl also goes around telling everybody what's going on in the house. And the maidservant does and the daughter does. And it's not her daughter, don't forget. It's the husband's daughter. The chassan's daughter.
Worse.
Yeah, so it's worse. He said, I need the whole neighborhood knowing what's going on with me. You know, they don't want it. Okay, now the Gemara says, like, this is very simple. Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, similar to what we were learning before. The Brashi says, Tan Rabbanan, learned. Amenashani Karyayna. A guy, again, when it comes to Kedushin, this is one thing we're going to keep learning a lot through the rest of the Masecht, in fact. A person has a right to do things on conditions. I could sell you something on the condition. I can give you something on the condition. If the condition is met, it's good. The condition is not met, it's not good. But that's the way it works, right? If I sell you something on the condition, I'm selling you this cup, on the condition you go to the back. If you go to the back, the sale's a sale. If not, it's not a sale, because you didn't meet the condition. That Kedushin in the Gemara is full of conditions, for whatever reason it is. Obviously, in those days, people used to make crazy conditions. Okay, a guy said, on condition, I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm a Kohen, I'm a Levi, that I know that I'm a this, I'm a that. So what happens, so now, when a guy says something, we need to know the definition of the word. Okay? For instance, we're going to see in the Gemara. The guy says, on the condition I'm a scholar. What is the definition of a scholar? Does he have to know the whole Gemara by heart? A little bit of... What is the definition of it? That's what the Gemara is going to be talking about now. What is it? A guy comes along and says, I'm an Ashini Karyana. Karyana means that I can read scriptures. I can read Tanakh. So now, what does that mean? So the din is, Kivin Shekara Shalosh Psukim Bebeis HaKnesses, once he reads three psukim, three verses in the shul, Memtes Amin Aleph, by the way. Seven lines to the bottom of the page. Memtes Amin Aleph. Okay, so he says like this, and the condition of Makraina, so the Gemara says, what is called a Kraina? That he could read scriptures. How much does he need to read? Three psukim. So Kivin Shekara and Shalosh Psukim Beisa Knesses, once he reads three Psukim in the Shul, Arezim Ukadesh is the valid Kedush. Rabbi Yudha says no. Achi Yikra V'yitargim. He has to be able to read and translate.
Three lines.
Oh. So the Banim he brings down over here, does Rabbi Yehuda agree that it's three reading and translating? Or does he mean that he has to be able to read the entire Torah and translate? So there's two opinions he brings down from the Rishayim. Okay, but the first opinion, Chachamim say, the guy has to be able to read three psukim. Rabbi Yehuda says the guy has to be able to read and translate. There's only argument, does Rabbi Yehuda mean three psukim read and translate, or does he mean the whole Torah read and translate?
Tanakh.
Now, Yitargim midaito. Does it mean that he has to translate it on his understanding? For Tanya, we learned in a braise, Rabbi Yehuda Emer, Ametargim Pasuk Betzurasei, if a person translates a Pasuk literally, you know, literally, Hareze Badoi, he's a fabricator, he's a bluffer. V'ameisef Olav, and anybody who adds his own explanation to the Chumash, is Mechariv and Megadiv a blasphemer. He curses God. The Mefarshim explain, like for instance, even Targum Unklis, right, the side of the Chumash, that we don't read it, but I mean, when you do twice Chumash and Unklis. So, Unklis translates the Torah literally, but not always.
That's not like.
Always the exact simple translation. Yeah. They bring down the exact Losan Ariv. Okay? Literally it means, the Pasuk would mean Losan Ariv, don't give testimony. Which doesn't mean if you know testimony, you have a mitzvah to give it. So he says what it means is don't What?
Don't come before a court.
No, when you're asked, it means when you're asked to decide a case, Okay? Losana Auriv. Okay? So, he says, do not refrain from answering when you are asked to decide a case. And that's the way Unklus explained the Pasuk means, simply means, don't come to court and testify. Which can't be, because he says, don't be afraid to say your opinion if you're a judge in the case. That's what it means. So it's not the literal interpretation. So you see, not every Pasuk can be translated literally. Okay? And yet, if you add your own interpretation, it's also no good. So the Gemara's question is, what does it mean that the guy knows how to translate? Does it mean his own translation? That's no good. So the Gemara answers, no. Elamai Targum? What does Targum mean? Targum Didon. Our translation, meaning Unkelis. His translation. Obviously, they couldn't write in the Gemara Rashi, because Rashi didn't live yet. But it would mean also Rashi's interpretation of the Pasuk, which is also the simple meaning of the Pasuk.
So,
what?
Can you elaborate? So how did Rashi make his own commentary if it's not based
on... No, because Rashi is based on Targum, like a Targume.
It's not his own understanding.
Right.
It's simple.
Yes. In fact... In fact, the question is, Taisus brings down over here that Lucheira, how did Unkelis translate the Pasuk? If we're just saying now you can't translate the Pasuk, how did he do it? No, the Gemara answers a different thing. In Megillah, the Gemara says like this: Unkelis didn't write the Targum. This was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Targum Unkelis. The Jews forgot it, and Unkelis reinstated it. So it wasn't his translation. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's translation. Same thing with Rashi. It was on Nitna L'Moshe Mesinai. Here we're talking about a guy, Yukel, comes off the street and starts translating the Old Testament. Like you ever see, you shouldn't ever know of it, but you ever see the way the Goyim in their Bible translate Pesukim Chumash? It's atrocious. It's much ridiculous. Because they don't have Rashi's explanations. They translate literally verbatim. It's ridiculous.
Actually, Paul wrote the book.
That's the New Testament. Yeah. I'm talking about the old one they're doing to translate. The new one. The new one you're not allowed to look at. I'm saying the way the non-Jewish translators of the Chumash translate the Chumash, it's terrible.
So the English translation we have is based on Russian?
Most of them, a lot of them.
It's literally translated.
A lot, there's still, but if you look at it, you'll see Rashi explains it the way they, yeah. What?
You said that the Targum Unkelis was given to Moshe.
Taisa says, what happened, Taisa says like this, Unkelis Shahasif, Unkelis that added, Lahasif, Lemi Daito Hasif, Shari Besinai Nitana Targum, Shenishtakach, it was forgotten. V'chazev yisaydei, and like the Gemara says in Megillah.
So he compiled it.
Or Taisus brings another example. It says in the Pasuk by Matan Torah that they saw Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. They saw the God of Israel. Okay? Now, if you translate that literally, what, they saw God? There's a picture of him that they saw. So obviously it doesn't mean that. It means they felt the godliness. Right? The holiness. You're not going to say that you saw God. So Gemara says you can translate a Pasuk literally. You could take the first Pasuk of Chumash. Like the time when the 70 elders with Tamei HaMelech changed it. If you take the literal translation of the Chumash, the first Pasuk, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Okay? If you take it literally, you can translate it like this. Bereshis, whoever Bereshis is, Bar Elokim created God. You could translate according to Torah, in the beginning God created, right? Or you could translate it, Bereshis, whoever this guy is, Bereshis, Bar Elokim created God. That's also a literal translation. That's why they had to change it for Talmud to write, Elokim Bar Bereshis. Right? But if you translate the Torah literally, the Gemara says it's no good. So the Gemara says, how can this guy make a condition with the woman on the condition that he translates it? So what type of translation are we talking about? So the Gemara says, yeah, we're not, You're talking about his own, not his own translation, the translation of Unkelis or Rashi, whoever it may be. But in other words, it has to be a guy that knows how to translate. But Hani Mili, this is only Domala that he guy tells the woman on the condition I'm a Kraina. Aval Amala Kraana. But if he uses the word Kraana, I'm a scripture expert. The only way the condition is met, if he knows how to return the via Meksuvim perfectly without any mistakes. You have to remember, there were no vowels in those days.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a Sefer Torah today. So if the guy says to the woman, Ariat Mekodesh, on the condition I'm a Kraino, so he has to read three psukim, or know how to translate. But if the guy says, on the condition that I'm a Kraano, meaning I'm an expert reader, he has to be able to read the entire Chumash, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, all 24 books of scriptures without any mistakes. And if not, it's not a valid condition. The condition was not met.
That's impossible.
Huh?
It's impossible.
Why? In those days, everybody read.
Everybody could do it without a mistake.
Yeah.
Not even one mistake.
Not one mistake. I mean, you know, proper.
Even by heart.
Listen, years ago we learned, when a guy got called up to the Torah, there was no reader, like we have today at Balkari. There wasn't one guy that read the Torah. Everybody got called up to the Torah. They read their Aliyah. Everybody read their portion.
Is that in your time?
Not my time. I'm talking. come on. My kids would say in the olden times, when you were young, yeah. I'm talking about a few hundred years ago.
Yeah.
With the time of the Gemara.
A few hundred, I can understand.
No, a few hundred years ago or even more. You know, they had nobody read. They called up a guy. You got your aliyah. You're a kohen. You read the first aliyah. The Levi read the next. Shlishi read Shlishi. You know, there was no such thing as a reader. Then it became embarrassing because a lot of people weren't able to read. So therefore, they instituted one reader, no matter who you are. You know, no matter you could be a great tzaddik, you still don't read your own. You have somebody reading it for you. So in those days, it was common. That's the way they read.
Why we
yeah, because you're really supposed to be the one reading it. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. What happens if a guy says, I'm Menash Shani Shaina? He says to the woman, become a Kodeshus to me on the condition that I'm one who studies. That I'm not how to study. So Chizkiyama, what does it mean? Study what? So Chizkiyama says he has to learn halachas. Halacha, you know, Shulchan Aruch, that he has to know how to learn. Halacha Meshim Sinai, Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Torah, they have to be able to know Torah. In other words, if a guy says to the woman, on the condition I know how to learn Torah, what does it mean? So one opinion says he has to know all the halacha Meshim Sinai, all the halachas given to Moshe, and the other opinion says, no, he has to know how to learn Torah. Maitri, I'll ask you a question. Eze Mishnah, what is the definition of the word Mishnah? Rabbi Meir, Aymer Halachas, Rabbi Meir says halacha, and Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Medrash. Now the Gemara thinks now, by the way, the Medrash means the Medrashim not of stories, the Medrashim of the Halachis. Meaning like this. You don't have it so much in Brachos and Shmeis. You have Medrash, right? The Medrash says, well, that's the book for kids. But the Medrash is from the Mishnah era. By the way, Medrash is from the era of the Mishnah, but certain parts of Chumash, it goes into the oral explanations of all the stories that happened in Chumash. In Vayikra, let's say, you have Sefri and Sefra and all these that are actually the halachas of Vayikra. For instance, all the laws of Karbanis. Okay, we learn it from the Medrash of Sefri and Sefra. Okay, so that's basically where we learn it from. So the Gemara thought now, that Rabbi Yehuda says Medrash. Okay? So the Gemara asks, how could Rabbi Yechanan say that if a guy says I know how to learn it means Torah, when one opinion says Halacha, and one opinion says Medrash. So how does Torah, there's no opinion like Rabbi Yechanan says that he has to know how to learn Torah. So the Gemara says, next page, my Torah, Medrash Torah. What does it mean, Torah? Medrash means not the halacha, but the learning, reading of Torah.
Who's Chizkiah? First time I heard Chizkiah.
No, we had him plenty of times. Chizkiah was a disciple of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He was a colleague of Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish. These were all students of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. No, Chizkiah we had many times. Bahani Mili, when does this din apply? That we said before. The Amar Lei Tanina, when he says to the woman, I am a Tanina. So then the question is, what does it mean? Does it mean halacha? Does it mean pschumish? Aval Amar Tano Ana. But if he says, I'm a Tana, meaning a sage of the Mishnah era, then he has to know Hilchasa, Sifra, Sifri, and Tisafti. He has to know all the oral Torah, basically. So again, it depends what language the guy says to the woman. He makes a condition. On the condition that I know Chumash. The question, how much Chumash does he have to know? Different opinions. If he says, I know a Mishnah, what does that mean? Does it mean Halacha? Does it mean Chumash? Does it mean, you know, all these things. And it's very important to understand the definition because it's a condition. And if the condition is met, the woman is mukudashas. If there's not, the condition is not met, the kedushin is not valid. So it's very important to know the definition of these terms. Then the, what?
The opinion that said halacha lemusha misinai, are they collected in a body that
no.
somebody studies?
No. No, there's no... in fact, he wants to say at the bottom that halacha... Halacha Meshim Sinai, some of these laws, and other people say all the laws given over to Meshim Sinai. Basically means all of Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Well, that's what the Gemara says. If he says Kara, Karaina means Chumash. Kara means the whole Tanakh. Right. Now, what happens? He says, Amenasha Ni Talmud. And the condition, I'm a student, a Torah student. Einayim, we don't say he has to be like Shimon ben Azay, Shimon ben Zayma, the famous Shimon ben Azay and Shimon ben Zayma, that were like, Rashi brings an interesting thing. We learned this in Pirkei Avos when it says in the fourth paragraph, ben Zayma, ben Azay, because it's a whole machlekes, but Rashi says, because they died young and they never got smicha. They never became Rabbi, so-and-so. So therefore, but Rashi says they were the most brilliant minds in their generation. Except they died young, so they weren't called Rabban Shimon ben Azai, Rabban Shimon ben Zayma. Okay? So Rashi says, though, that they were the greatest of minds. So if a guy says, on the condition that I'm a Talmud Chacham, we don't mean that he has to be like ben Azai and ben Zayma. What does it mean? That you can ask him a single question in whatever he's learning now, and he'll know the answer. That means basically you can ask him questions, he can answer you. That's called a chacham. And even if he's learning mesechtes kala, there's in the Gemara, there are the main tractates, and then there's little ones. Whatever. So Kala is a very simple, small tractate. It's not even counted really in the tractates of the 63 tractates of the Gemara. But over there it says that a Kala with, like he brings down, like the first opening halacha, a Kala without a bracha, meaning without a chuppah, is forbidden to her husband. It means if a girl doesn't have a chuppah, she can't be with the husband, right? So that's a very obvious, simple din. So even that mesecht, if he's learning it, then you ask him a question, and then he knows the answer, that's called a scholar. And again, the Gemara is defining what the guy means, halachically, when he says the condition with the women. When he says, I'm a scholar, does he mean he has to be like Ben Azim, Ben Zayim? The Gemara says, no. A scholar, that what he's learning, you ask him a question, he knows what the answer is, that's called a scholar. Then he says, I'm an Asheni Chochem. What happens, a guy says to a woman, become a kodeshes to me on the condition I'm smart. Now, what does smart mean? So he says, Ein emrim kechachme yavne like Rabbi Kiva and the Chavedev. We don't mean the brilliance of Rabbi Kiva and his colleagues. What does it mean? Alakol shesheilam eisei dvar chochma b'chol mokim ve'imro. Anytime you ask him anything that is intellectual, then as you can have an intellectual conversation with a guy, that's called a chochm. He doesn't have to be Einstein or who, whatever. As long as he understands, you can keep an intellectual conversation going with him. That's called a chochm.
That it's talking about, it's really someone who's versed in his own learning.
Right.
You can't just ask him
any questions. No, he said, anywhere in the area that he's learning now. That's what Gemara says, yeah. Now, Amenashani Gibur. He comes over to a woman, if we come and Kodesh to me on the Kodesh, I'm strong. So, Thomas Shimshin, we're talking about Hercules, I mean, who are we talking about? So the Gemara says, Ein Emrim Ke Avne Ben Ned, not like Avner ben Ner and Yaev ben Tsruya. These were, Avner was Shaul HaMelech's chief of staff, you know, chief of the army, and Yaev ben Tsruya was David HaMelech's head of the army. So obviously they were very strong, right? So the Gemara says, it doesn't need to be the strength of Yaev ben Tsruya, Avner ben Ner. What does it mean? Elam. No, I got it again. So it says, what it means is, Elokol shechaveidav misyorim mimenim negevurasi. What does it mean, and the condition I'm strong? It means that your friends are afraid to start up with you. You have to be super strong, but as long as you're strong, that the people would be hesitant to start up with you. Then the Gemara says, I'm an asher niyoshid. What happens, a guy says to a woman, and the condition I'm rich. Now, what does it mean? Bill Gates? Does it mean this guy? Who does it mean? So, Gemara says, Ein emrim k'rabbelozer min charsum v'k'rabbelozer bin azaya. It doesn't mean the wealth of Rabbelozer bin charsum. So, Rashi brings down that Rabbelozer bin charsum, the Gemara says, was so rich that his father, when he died, left him over 1,000 cities on dry land and 1,000 ships in the ocean. That's what his father left him over inheritance. Huh?
Onassis.
Maybe his last name was Onassis. I don't know. Or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the Gemara says, the Rashi brings on also, that when he had to give tithe the animals, you know, tithing the animals, every year the 10% was 12,000 animals. That means every year there was 120,000 animals in his herd.
Added.
Yeah, because every year he used to give 12,000. That's 10% every year. Yeah, so these were super. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you know, and Rabbi Elazar, they were super rich. So when a guy says on the condition I'm rich, he doesn't mean that wealth. It means that kol shebneire mechabden esi, whoever is honored by the people because of his wealth. You know, wealthy people are honored. So that is considered wealth. What happens if a guy says, I'm an ashani tzaddik? You become a kodesh to me on the condition I'm a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, and this is what we mentioned already before, the Gemara says, afilu roshi gomor. Even if a guy is a real rasha, it's mukodesh, but the Mefarshim explained it means doubtful kedushin. Why? Shami hira tshuva bedaiti. Maybe he did tshuva. In other words, like this. Tshuva takes a second. Yeah? So the Gemara says, what happens if a guy says to a woman, I become the Kadeshis to me on the condition I'm a Tzadik Gomor. Says Tzadik, okay, here it says Tzadik, the other version would say Tzadik Gomor. But he says on the condition I'm a Tzadik. Yeah? So the din is, even if he's a complete Rasha, it's still a doubtful Kedushin. Why? Maybe he did Tshuva in a split second. Right now he thought Tshuva, and it would be a valid kedushin, maybe. So it's a doubt. That means this woman would need a get.
Yeah.
Or if he wants to marry her, you know, he has to. No, he doesn't have to. Yeah, he has to be do kedushin again.
He does.
Yeah.
How do we see the other way here that it's a doubtful condition? What, everything else we didn't say is doubtful.
No, because the Gemara says Shema. Here it's only Shema.
And
we cannot say that he's a father kedushim.
How do you know he did tshuva?
Say
don't forget, we're playing it with Eishes Ish, with a married woman. You can't play games because of the question of adultery, with a get, with mamzer, and everything under the sun, right? Now, a guy comes home to a woman says, in addition, I'm a tzaddik. Okay? First of all, like Dumar is going to say, what happens if a guy says to a woman, and the condition, I'm a Rasha? So Gemara says, next piece of Gemara. A guy says to a woman, Hariat Mukadesh is on the condition I'm a Rasha. So the Gemara says, even if you know he's a tzaddik, it's still a doubtful kedushin. Why? Maybe he thought about worshipping idols. In the second, it makes him a wicked person. In other words, like this, you can't know what's going on in his head. So you can't say it's a definite kedushin. Maybe he did tshuva, maybe he didn't do tshuva. If he didn't do tshuva, it's not a valid kedushin. But maybe he did, then it would be a valid kedushin because the condition is met, right? So therefore, we don't know.
When we say he did tshuva, do we mean he had charata and he did hafata that he wouldn't do it again?
Well, tshuva takes a split second.
Let's consider tshuva. He says, it was a bad thing I did? Or
he could think it. He doesn't even have to say it. But here the Gemara is talking b'chal, but here b'chal there's another problem over here. I understand, and what happens though when a guy sins and he does tshuva? What is he? He's about tshuva or tzaddik? No, he's not. He's about tshuva. So how is it a good kedushin?
No, it becomes
a tzaddik. No, if you do tshuva. No, you're about tshuva.
About tshuva, but that's higher than tzaddik. So.
But now it becomes a tzaddik.
No, what?
Post-tshuva,
remember, a few weeks ago we were discussing this whole thing. There's a machlekes in the Gemara in Brachos. Who's greater, about tshuva or a tzaddik? Remember, it's two opinions in the Gemara, Rababu and Rabchanina, I think, whatever. There's two opinions in the Gemara. Who's greater? One opinion says the tzaddik is greater, and one opinion says the Baal Tshuva is greater. The pearl, the Rambam paskins, the Rambam rules that the Baal Tshuva is greater than the tzaddik. We know, Baal Tshuva is greater than the tzaddik. So all the mefarshim of the Rambam ask, according to the rules of paskining, of ruling it from the Gemara, the halacha should be like the opinion that says tzaddik is greater. So they ask, what's the Rambam source? Why he rules that a Baal Tshuva is greater than a tzaddik? According to the rules in Shas of the Gemara, that the opinion of a tzaddik should be correct. Okay? So the old Mefarshim of the Rambam asked this question. So the Raga Tshuva answers, from this Gemara is a proof. Because a guy says to the woman, I am Kodesh, you are Mekadeshes to me, and the condition that I'm a tzaddik. Okay? Why is it maybe a good kedushin? Because maybe he did tshuva. Right? Correct? Now, if a tzaddik is greater than a baal tshuva, it still shouldn't be a good kedushin. He said on the condition, I'm a tzaddik, and he's only a baal tshuva.
That's why I can be the
same. 1 minute. So that's what the Rogan Shavu says. So that's the source. This is what the Rogan Shavu says. The Rambam source that a Baal Tshuva is greater than the Tzaddik is from this Gemara in Kedushin. What we learned just now. Because if the Tzaddik is greater than a Baal Tshuva, how could it be valid Kedushin? He's only a Baal Tshuva, not a Tzaddik. So we must say a Baal Tshuva is greater than the Tzaddik. So the Mefarshim, but the Rebbe also brings it down. So the Mefarshim asks, 1 minute. But if a Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzaddik, it's also no good. The Chachamim hold, if you make a mistake for the better, it's also no good. Okay, so what's the answer? The answer is, there's different levels of tshuva. This that the halacha says about tshuva is greater than a tzaddik, that's the highest level of tshuva. That avedis become mitzvahs. But the Gemara says in Yuma, zdeinis nasale kezachis, avedis become mitzvahs. But there's a level of tshuva that doesn't make you a Baal Tshuva. There's a level of Tshuva that makes you a Tzaddik. Not more, not less. So therefore, the proof from this Gemara, though, according to the Rogan Shavir, is a valid proof. Because if the Tzaddik is greater than the Baal Tshuva, then the Kedushin still wouldn't be valid. Because he said, I'm the Kedushin, I'm a Tzaddik, and he's only a Baal Tshuva. Okay? So this Gemara is talking about what level of Tshuva did he do, which only makes him a Tzaddik. Not more, not less. Okay? So therefore, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. But if he did tshuva that makes him greater than a tzaddik, let's say, then according to the Chacham, it wouldn't be a good Kedushin.
How do we know which one is which?
Huh? Tshuva me'av and tshuva me'ira. Tshuva out of fear makes you a tzaddik. Tshuva out of love makes you higher than a tzaddik, the Gemara says.
There's a lot of doubts, that's why...
So it's a Kedushin. Do we know what he did? Maybe he didn't do tshuva. Do you know what they call... You know, by a wedding, when you call up the witnesses to watch the ring giving? Yeah. If the rabbi is in a joking mood, he turns to the witnesses quietly and says, think tshuva. Because the person who's a sinner is not a kosher witness. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So the guy could be from, but if he's a sinner, if he steals, he's not a kosher witness. Right? So at that time, the rabbi will tell the witnesses themselves, if they know, they'll take a tshuva break for a minute, you know, think tshuva, regret, you know, any things, and then they are able to be kosher witnesses. Huh?
The other level of
tzaddik. The
other level of tzaddik. Some rabbi bring their own witness.
Yeah, because they want to make sure that Peshim is Shabbos.
So do we go back to all the detailed halachas of how to do tshuva, or you just
hear tshuva? The Gemara says, Shem, hear tshuva. Now the Gemara says the reverse. Amenash ani rasha. What happens? The guy says, and the Gedishin that I'm a rasha. Weird. Guy says, so when we come to Gedishin, and Gedishin, I'm wicked. So it says, afil tzadi gomur. Even if he's a tzadi gomur, mekudeshes. Here again, it means a doubtful kedushin. Why? Shem, hear dvar avedis kechobim bedaiti. Maybe he thought something of Aveda Zorah.
Why does the Gemara use that example? I mean, there's a lot of other
mental... No, because the only Aveda that mentally makes you a Rasha, even though the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, the expression Maharad Baratzin is called a Rasha from the Gemara, but it's not as far as this level of a Rasha. Over there he's being the Rasha of Tanya, of, you know, the higher level of things. But according to Halacha, a guy that thinks to sin... Let's see, a guy thinks, I'm going to desecrate Shabbos. He thinks, but he doesn't do it. Yeah? He's not in Russia. The only sin that thinking makes you guilty is Aveda Zara. And obviously, the only one that can punish you is Hashem. The courts can't know what you think. Right? So the courts don't know what you think, but Hashem knows what you think. So the only Aveda that really makes you a Russia instantaneously... is a literal Russia that would disqualify you from this or testimony of this is Aveda Zara.
Does it apply today?
Today? But why not?
Worship what?
If a Jew thinks, for a Jew Christian, not for a Goy. For a Goy it's an argument, Rambam and Tosis, if Christianity for a Goy is Aveda Zara or not. But the halacha is that it's not. Okay, but for a Jew, to believe in Christianity is Aveda Zara. Or Buddha, or the other guys.
All these
Indian stuff, yeah.
But Muslim,
no. No. Muslim, even the Rambam says it's not Aveda Zara.
They believe in a prophet, so-called prophet.
Because he is a prophet, he's not a trinity. It's called sheet of partnership. A Jew, because it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, only a Jew is obligated to Hashem Echad. But a guy technically can believe that there's a partnership, which is a Trinity concept.
Why? Because they don't know any better?
No, because it's according to the halacha, it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, only a Jew is obligated in Achdus Hashem.
Okay.
And this that the author says he really
it's a Gemara.
It's only in terms of its the ill effects on the neshama.
Yes.
Not in terms of
yeah. And